It's good to be with you today. It feels like ages since I've been here at Perry Street on a Sunday. It's good to be bringing God's word to join with those that are online. Welcome to you as well. I was trying to figure out when I was last here. There's been the gathering. I've been away with Kezia. I can tell you which was, there were different times away. That's all I'm going to say. The facilities were different in both of those things. That's all I'm going to say for that. But this morning we're moving on with the second sermon in our mini-series titled There Is More, which is looking at Ephesians 3 verses 14 through to 21. A couple of weeks ago, Alan kicked off the series as we thought about more power, and we honed in on verses 14 through to 17. And this morning, we're going to look at looking at the second part of verse 17, so 17b, if you like, through to 19. And we read these words. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Wonderful words, aren't they, from Paul? The Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament. And this morning we have the title, More Love, in relation to that passage. And so before we move on, I want to give us a quick biology lesson that will help us understand. Some of you looked a little bit, ooh, okay. Don't worry, it's not human biology. That's all I'm going to say. But to help us understand some of what we're going to be thinking about today, because roots of plants, of bushes, of trees, of shrubs, they're amazing, aren't they, roots? Absolutely fantastic. We all know that without roots, the plant would not survive, or the bush or the tree or whatever it is would not be able to survive one moment without roots. And roots are one of the three organs of the plant. And roots' most important job is to take in water and nutrients. And without them, they're like humans. Without water, without nutrients, we would die. A tree, a plant, a bush, a flower, it would die without those roots taking on that water and nutrients. And another job of roots is to anchor the plant or the tree. And without this anchoring, without the anchoring, they're a bit like a baby who's learning to walk and hasn't quite found the roots of their feet. They're not quite planted. They just topple over. So without those roots, the tree would just fall down. And while we have roots that go underground, there are roots that grow above ground. And they grow out of stems, and these are what are called prop roots. And they form a really strong anchor that stops that tree that blowing in the wind and going over too far. How do I know all of so much stuff about roots? Do I have a biology degree? No, but I have access to Google, and that's all you need. That's all you need in this day and age, isn't it? Access to Google. Other search engines are also available. I just want to throw that out there. Speaking of Google, did you know that the longest ever recorded total root systems, that's all of the roots of one single plant laid out end to end, that totaled 386.9 miles. I know. What I think about that is, not only is that a long way, who spent the time calculating that? And why didn't they do 387? Why 386.9? I don't get that. But anyway, that's the longest. And do you want to know the deepest route that goes down, down, down? It's by a cave in South Africa. It's a wild fig tree, and it has a root depth of 120 meters. That's nearly 2.5 Olympic swimming pools, to put it into context. That's how far. Isn't God's creation amazing? Absolutely amazing. And I give us those root factoids, if you like, because in this passage that we're thinking about today, Paul states, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And as we try to get our heads around this morning, what all of that means for us in our lives, it's helpful to have that deeper understanding of what roots are. So they give nutrients and water and refreshment and survival, and they anchor to the ground. And so for us, in relation to these verses, your roots will grow down. Roots describe a state of spiritual stability. That's what we're talking about. A state of spiritual stability and growth. Our roots anchor us to God and his love. And our roots are where we draw life and draw strength. And without roots, our faith will die. That's the bottom line. Simply put, our spiritual roots in Christ's love keep us spiritually alive. And without them, our spiritual lives are dead. It links with these verses from Jeremiah chapter 17. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. And at the start of the passage of chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul links our trust with God with the depth to which our roots grow down into God's love. And like the prophet Jeremiah, when we trust in the love of God, we have roots that are deep and are being resourced by God's love. So that when the struggle comes, we're nourished and we're able to endure. And the Apostle Paul wants us to know what it is to have roots that are deep, well-watered, so that when tough times come, and they will, we will stay strong, just like those trees along a riverbank that Jeremiah was talking about. And it parallels a little bit with the wise and foolish builder from Matthew's gospel. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. You know, that while that passage doesn't explicitly talk about building foundations, when we're talking about bedrock, that's what we mean. It's building foundations. And if you know anything about building a property, it's the foundations are the important bit. You can make it look all nice and fancy on the top, but if the foundations are awful, it ain't going to stand the test of time. No corners to be cut. You know, in today's world, we often speak, don't we, about things that are not built like they used to. You know, your TV is only meant to last 5 years. Your computer probably lasts about 18 months. And for some reason, certain phone companies bring out a new phone every single year because that makes you think, well, mine's out of date. I've got to get a new one. I've got to pay more money. Don't fall into the lie, friends. Don't fall into the lie. There's nothing wrong with a Nokia 3310. I'm just saying. And Paul is speaking about our relationship with God and how that encourages us to think about our roots, to not take any shortcuts, to put the effort in so that our roots will last far more than 5 minutes, far more than 5 years. They will last a lifetime. For friends, here's the truth. The roots of your relationship with God will not just happen. It won't just happen. You've got to put the work in. You have to be doggedly intentional about putting down deep roots. And so this passage asks us, what are you putting your roots in and how are you putting down your roots? You see, we all put our roots into something. It might be sport and fitness, as you can tell, I'm obviously into. Or it might be our family. It might be our careers. It might be a sin that we can't escape from. It might be our personal wealth. If it isn't God, it will be something. I know some of the things I've just mentioned in and of themselves are not bad things, but they're not the things to put our roots down into. But rather, these good things will have meaning and priority after our roots in God's love. You see, there'll be aspects of our lives, these different things, whether that's our careers, our families, our well-being, our sport, all of those kind of things. But they won't be the root system of our life. For you cannot anchor yourself to those things of the world because they will not hold you strong. And so when we put down roots into lots of different things, and we put roots in lots of different ways, but a sign that we've got our roots into something will be the way we invest in it. If you want to think, so what do I put my roots in? Find out what you invest in. Ask yourself, what are you investing in? What has your time? What has your heart? What has your bank balance? What has your resources, your thought process? All of those kind of things. You'll know instantly right now if that is God or if it's something else in your life. And if it's God, that's what Paul is saying. Put your things in God's love. Put your roots into that and not all these other things of the world. And while there's nothing wrong with lots of those other things that I mentioned, Paul says, but they're not going to anchor you. That's not what you plant your feet in. You plant your feet in God's love and God's love alone. And then the good things that God wants for our lives will flow out of his love that we've put our roots down into, as opposed to putting our roots into all these other things and expecting God's love to flow out of that. Think about the parable of the farmer sowing seeds. Some of it lands on the path, some of it lands on rocky soil, some of it on the thorny soil. Those seeds couldn't put down roots because there were other things that detracted. There were other things that grew up and choked it. There was other things that pulled them away. It's only when the roots went into the good soil that actually they grew and there was a crop. After all, we read in Matthew's gospel, seek first. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. It doesn't say seek the kingdom of God once you've sought other things. Does it? It says seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It is seeking God first and foremost, before and above absolutely everything else. And let's be honest for a moment. Some of us are not doing that. We're not. Some of you are not doing that. You're putting everything else first and then wondering why your relationship with God has stalled and isn't growing, and yet you're not willing to trust him with your life, and so you're holding on to it, but all you're doing is putting down shallow roots in God's love. So when problems come, things start to fall apart. Remember, the purpose of roots is to give nutrients and water and to anchor us. And if you put your roots into things other than God, those are the things that will be giving you the nutrients, but they're not nutrients. They're bad things. They're the things that will be giving you bad taste in water. They're the things that you're trying to anchor your life to, but they don't have any substance. They might be fun, they might be exciting, but they don't have substance. So when a problem comes, you're just going to topple over. Because we're putting our roots into the wrong things. When we put our roots into God's love, it is God's love that feeds us. God's love that waters us. God's love that anchors us. And when we do that, we find we have better marriages, better relationships, better purposes in our jobs, more fulfilled lives. So friends, I'd even go as far as say, stop chasing the better job, the more fulfilled relationship, the larger bank balance, the fancier house and so on. But instead, chase after God. With everything you've got, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And then, and only then, he will give you everything that you need. Chase after God with everything you've got, and then the things that he wants for you will be added unto you. And the things that God doesn't want for you will no longer have the same appeal for you and the same hold over. Are you with me? You see, while we will all be rooted in something, today we ask, are we rooted in God's love? That's the only question, really. That's the only, if you remember nothing else from this morning, ask yourself, are you rooted in God's love? Now, when we're talking about love, what type of love are we talking about? Now, in the New Testament, there are different Greek words for love. Many of you will know this. If you don't worry. If you knew it, but you've forgotten it, you're going to get a reminder. So first of all, we have philia love. That's the love you have for your friends. You know, when you see reality programs, they go, oh, I've known you for 2 minutes and I love you, babe. You know? You don't even know you, I don't love you. But you will have friends and you will have that sisterly and brotherly love for them. You genuinely love them. But it's a different love to what you have with other people. It's a friendship love. It's a philia love. And then you have storge love. That's the love that you have for your family. So it's kind of like parent-child love. The love that I have for my kids, Kezi and Ruben, is a storge love. It's a little bit stronger than a philia love. It's a really powerful, strong bond, family love. And then you have the love that is eros love. This is the love that's precluded by you putting the vinyl on the record player and you get the crackle. And then you get the music starts and Marvin Gaye starts singing out of it. You know, this is the getting you in the mood kind of love. This is the love that a husband and a wife will have for each other. The eros love. The passionate love that's associated with physical attraction and intimacy. And all of those loves have their place. And they're all great loves. They're loves that God has blessed us with, that he's created in the created order of things. This is the love that God has given us for different people and different seasons and different times of life. But none of those are God's love. Because all of these will fall short. The love that God has for us is agape love. And that's that unconditional, sacrificial love. And the Bible uses this word when describing the love that God has for us. When we read God is love, it's God is agape. It's a self-sacrificing, it's a deeper kind of love. It's a love that we don't have for each other because we're flawed and we let each other down. This love never, ever lets you down. This is a love that went saw Jesus go to the cross. This deep, deep, unconditional, sacrificial, agape love. We read about this in Romans 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. This is agape love. God showed his great agape for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So even before we accepted this love, God showed us this agape love. I find that amazing. You may be sat here today and you're still wondering if you want God to be part of your life. You may be wondering if Christianity is for you. Well, know this truth of this verse to sink in for a moment, that even before you make a decision to be an apprentice of Jesus, even before you accept that God loves you, God shows his love for you, knowing that you might even reject him. Whether you, even if you go to your grave and you've never accepted Jesus, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus for you. I find that amazing. Absolutely mind-blowing. You may be sitting here thinking, there is no way God can love you like that, because you look at your life and you think, there is, how on earth could God love me? You can't even look upon me, let love me. Friends, you'd be wrong. You're wrong. God loves you with the purest form of love there is. And we read a bit further in Romans that there is nothing that can separate us from this love. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us when God has chosen for his own? No one.
For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And that also means if we cause the trouble ourselves? Does he still love us if we mess our lives up? Does he still love us if we just completely fail monumentally? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. So nothing that you do, nothing that is done against you, nothing that happens in the world can ever separate you from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Those truths are absolutely amazing. They're mind-blowing. The message puts it this way. God has put everything on the line for us. That's what he did when he sent Jesus to die for you. Because he loves you so much with that agape love, a love that is way beyond any human love. He put everything on the line, knowing that we could reject him. Knowing that we could turn away, knowing that we will mess it up. Knowing that we'll have seasons where sometimes we're on fire for God and he's amazing, and sometimes we've walked away. God has put everything on the line for us for one reason and one reason only. He loves you. He doesn't philia love you. He doesn't storge love you. He certainly doesn't eros love you. He agape loves you. Pure and higher and greater love than any love that we ever know as human beings. It's a love that serves. It's a love of humility. It's a love that is selfless. Agape love, the highest form. God is love, and there is nothing higher than God's love. If you think about 1 Corinthians 13, that's often read at weddings, where it's love is patient, love is kind, and so on and so forth. It's an agape love. It's talking about Christ's love to us. Because there's no purer form of love than God's love for us. And that's why we often read that at the marriage ceremony. But here's the reality. The marriage ceremony love goes through phases. It goes through seasons. And it's not always pure, and it's not always higher. It's not always as great as it is on that wedding day. But God's love that passage relates to, that is often read on that wedding day, will never falter. It will never wane. It will always be. It can't get any more perfect because it already is perfect. And that love that God has for you and he has for me is a choice from God. It's a really important aspect of the love we're talking about today in this passage. And I just sense that I was preparing that some of us need to hear this today. That God chooses to love you. Because of his undeniable, unconditional, undeserved, outrageous, and mind-blowing, awe-inspiring love for you, he invites you to put down roots into that. Not to put down roots into your own self-worth, into your own workings out, your own hoping it all works out, your own understanding, your own experiences, your own strength, but into the world-changing, transformational, the most excellent and powerful love that there is and ever will be, this agape love, Paul says, is the love that God invites us to put our roots deep down into. How good is that? It's a love that is wider than the universe. God loves us in our deepest sorrow and our most thrilling, joyful moments. He loves us when we're at our lowest and have failed monumentally, and he loves us when we're living our best for him. We cannot earn this love, and we cannot ever lose this love. Friends, just allow that. If you've nodded off a little bit, just wake yourself up again. Speak to your mind. Speak to your heart. You cannot earn God's agape love, and you can never, ever lose it. But we do try. We do try, because we mess our lives up on a regular basis, and we think that's it. Here's the truth. It doesn't mean you can then just go and do whatever you want to, because God loves me anyway. It means when you fully understand that love, you choose to not go and do what you want, because you're so grateful for the agape love that God has given you. That's the love that God has for us. It's a love that he invites you to cling on to, and a love that he invites you to put your roots down into. This love will give you strength and purpose. It's a love that will give your life direction and meaning. It's a love that will enable you to walk away from that that would look to destroy you. It's a love that's a firm foundation that keeps you safe, secure, and strong. After all, this is what Paul says will happen when we put down roots into God's agape love. The Bible says our roots established in God's love will keep us strong. I don't know about you, but there are days when I need to feel strong. I can sometimes search for other things that would try and keep me strong. But the Bible is clear. Our roots established in God's love and God's love alone. This agape love, that is what will keep us strong. You know, the enemy will try all sorts of tactics to draw us away from God. But the way to overcome the enemy is fairly straightforward, even though we overcomplicate it. All we have to do is keep putting down our roots into God's love. That's what makes us strong. So this says to me that the more we do this, the deeper our roots grow into God's love, the stronger will we be, so we can experience more of God's love. And I want to experience more of God's love. Now, I want to be clear here and say that it's not that the more we put down into God's love, the more of his love God chooses to release to us. That isn't the case, for God is love, and his full and complete love is on offer to us all. God doesn't hold anything back. But rather, what I am saying is the more we get out of the way, the further and deeper we put down roots into God's love, the more of his love that we'll realize there is. It's a bit like exploring the world. You might go on holidays this summer season, and you might go to a part of the world that you've never, ever been to. And you'll experience more of this world because you see that place that you've never, ever been to. Now, just because you've never been there doesn't mean it never existed. Of course it did. The world exists. And the more we explore it, the more of it we realize there is. And you see, God's love, God's agape love, 100%, completely and utterly already exists and is already there for you and me. But the way we experience more of that love is to keep putting down deeper roots into God's love. So every time we do that, we think, wow, this love that's already there, I've now found a new dimension to it. I found a new dimension because you're visiting God's love in different ways, in different places. But it's already there. So it's not like God says, I've got love, but at the minute, I've only shown you, Wayne, 20% of my love. I've only given you 20% of my love. I'm holding 80% back for when you decide to get your life together. God doesn't do that. 100% is there. But it's the more I explore, the more I push into God, the more I experience and realize how overwhelmingly amazing his love is. And that means, friends, I want you to take heart and be excited. There will be a time when our roots in God's love are like the roots of a sapling. They're not very deep. They're fairly new. But over time, the more we walk with God, the more we get into his word, the more we worship him, the more we study him, the more we walk, it starts to grow. Do you think that fig tree suddenly had 120 meters of roots all in one go? Of course it didn't. It started off with a few inches. But over time, with more water, with more nutrients, with more things being fed to it, it started to deepen and grow. It's the same with us, with our knowing God's love. So here's the wonder for all of us this morning. You're not at the finish line yet. You're not. You might feel like you are on days. But if you're here, you're not at the finish line yet. You still have more growing to do. You can still be intentional about putting down roots deeper into God's love. And the more you do that, the stronger in your faith you'll become as you experience more of God's love. If you're struggling with something new, may you see that you don't have to struggle with that for the rest of your lives. Because if you keep putting down roots into God's love, that's where you'll get the power. That's where you get the strength to overcome those things. Are you with me, church? I know it's warm and we're nearly there. Don't worry. Says to me that we can overcome anything in our lives. There is nothing that we cannot overcome with the power of God's amazing, awesome, agape love. No, it's not easy. I mean, it's not always an immediate effect. We have to be willing to put the work in. But over time, we can grow stronger and stronger. I think some of us have forgotten that. Maybe you never realized it. But you can have more of God's love in your life. Do you want it? Yeah. If you don't, check for pulse, you know. These verses from Ephesians 3, Paul prayed that God would give us supernatural strength and comprehension to understand the greatness of God's love for us. He says, the breadth and length and height and depth of it. The Message paraphrase talks about us being able to take in the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love, experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, and rise to the heights. It's Paul using language to try and get us in our simple, human, inadequate brains to realize the vastness of God's love. And that there are no limits to God's love. It is all-encompassing. God's love is everything in the truest definition of the word everything. And in verse 19, Paul prayed that we would know the love of Christ in a personal experiential way and not solely in an intellectual way. Friends, I wonder if that's where some of us are. We know it. We've read scripture. We understand it in an intellectual way. But we're not experiencing it. So let me ask you, when was the last time you experienced the love of Christ and not simply knew about it? When it was so experienced in your heart that tears flowed down your cheeks. When you so experienced it that it moved you in ways that you never thought possible. I was in a meeting this week and someone was so full of happiness at what God's love was doing that tears were streaming down their face. Not because they knew God's love, but because they experienced God's love. You know, the love we have in our human relationships will be very limited if we only know about the love as opposed to experiencing the love. Friends, God's love is meant to be experienced, not simply read and known about intellectually. Paul ends our verses for today with a realization that we all need help in understanding, receiving, and experiencing God's love because it surpasses knowledge. It's wonderful. But from a head point of view, it's beyond us. God's love coming into land, don't worry. God's love is so grand, so vast. It's, in one sense, it's so ironic in that it's shown in a way that as humans we don't expect. It's so gracious that it's hard to comprehend. Nothing in our world works in the way God's love and grace works. As we understand Christ's love for us more and more, it produces awe, greatness, and a desire to share his love with others. And again, here is the idea that experiencing God's love needs to be a journey we experience more and more. So if you've ever said, oh, that's just not how I experience God's love, you've limited God's love. If you said, I can't experience God's love like that, you've already limited God's love. It's not a criticism. I think at one point we've all done it or we all do it. We've got so used to, so comfortable. This is my personality. This is my character. This is how I am. Well, then we're limiting God's love. God wants us to experience his love deep in our guts. Deep in our souls. Deep in our very, very being. Because we read, may you experience the love of Christ. If we believe in Scripture, we've got to experience it. May you experience the agape of Christ. But Paul tells us that it is in experience the love of Christ that we live full lives in the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It's when we experience this agape love that we then and only then will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And I'm not there yet. But that doesn't make me sad. It makes me expectant and excited. It says there's more love that God wants me to experience. Let me close by asking us some questions. Have you personally experienced not just knowing the love of Christ? In other words, have you ever said, Jesus, thank you for what you've done, come into my heart? If you've never said it, I want to invite you to say that today. Don't go through the motions. Don't think, well, once I know a little bit more, once I've got it all sorted out, then I'll say to Jesus, will you come and be part of my... No. Because if you'll be waiting forever. If you've never, ever experienced personally this agape love of Jesus, and simply say, Jesus, come into my life. Sorry for all my wanderings, for all of my trying to figure it out in my own strength. I need to know your agape love in my life for the first time. And I believe if you honestly say that, Jesus comes into your heart and your life will never be the same again. Then I want to ask, where in your life do you need to experience the more of the love of Christ? I mean the width, the length, the height, the depth of Christ. If I'm talking about the fullness, the vastness of the love, what aspects of your life are you keeping from Him? What struggles are you keeping from Him? Where have you been so used to Jesus, so used to everything that happens in life, so used to church, so used to Scripture, so used to praying, that you're just doing it? Yet it somehow, it went from there to there, but somehow it's gone back up to just here, to head knowledge. When was the last time you were so moved by the love of Jesus that you just could not do anything other than just burst out into tears, but those happy tears? When was the last time that you were so moved by Jesus that you just fell on your knees at the foot of His cross and said, thank you? When was the last time you were so moved by the experience of the love of Jesus that you just, wow, you were just in awe? You went to a level in your walk with Jesus that you never knew was possible. And I believe some of us, when we ask that question, we can't remember when we last experienced the love of Jesus. Where are the struggles that you've got in your life? Where do you need the love of Jesus to come in and push those struggles out and give you the strength and the power to endure? Where do you need that in your life? That secret sin, that bad attitude, that worry, that concern that you've got about your kids, that worry, that concern you've got about your future. You're doing this, you're here and there and everywhere. Where in your life do you need to experience more of the love of Jesus? The final question. Do you want to know more of His love? It's not a complicated question, friends. Do you want to know more of the love of Jesus in your life? You see, what God chooses to love us, we also have to choose to love Him. We have to choose to see more of His love experienced in our lives. It's yes, then just simply say, God, show me. Just say, God, Please give me a tangible experience of your love for me today. Friends, I ask these questions because all of us can experience more of God's love. All of us. If you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, if you've been a Christian for over 90 years, and everything in between, you can experience more of God's love in your life. A number of months ago in a sermon, we just said, you know, let's not settle. Let's not settle. I'm going to keep saying that. I think it's important. I think sometimes we can just settle for where we've got to. That's enough. Yeah, I've been brought up in church. I made a commitment. I got baptized. I serve. I've been doing that for 50 years. There we are. I'm okay. God says there's more of my love that I've got for you that you haven't explored yet. You haven't explored yet. Please don't stop growing. Please put down more roots. Allow those roots to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper so that 120 meters is nothing. 386.9 miles is nothing. That you keep going, you keep going, you keep putting down roots into God's love so you experience more of Him in your life, in your heart. You experience more of His power, more of His leading, more of His guiding. Do you know what that does? Not only does it grow you as a daughter or son of the Most High, but it has an amazing impact of those around you. For when our families, when our workplaces, when the supermarket assistant, when the person that we're driving our car around, when we're experiencing more of God's love, it just oozes out of us. We can't contain it. And that impacts the world around us. We're talking of a quiet revival at the moment, where people are finding Jesus. I keep saying in prayer meetings, I want it to be a bit louder. I don't want it to be quiet. I want this revival to be shouting from the rooftops. This church, I want this church to have 5 services on a weekend. So I'm not busy enough. But why do I want that? Because that means there are more and more people that are finding the love of Jesus. And they need to be discipled. They need to be taught. I want churches to spring up here, there, and everywhere. Because more people are finding the love of Jesus Christ. I want Billericay to be on national news. Because everybody in Billericay is finding the love of Jesus Christ. Because we, as people who know Jesus Christ, are putting roots further and further and further into His love. Amen? Do you want more of His love? Yeah, just give Him a clap. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Let's stand together. Father, we just want to know more of Your love. We want to thank You for Your agape love. This agape love that is like unlike anything else. Wow. And we want to know more of that. And then when we know more, we want to know more again. Because You are a God with no limits. I just want to say, if you want to know that for the first time, or you feel you need to make a recommitment, in your heart, just say this prayer after me. Dear Father, thank You for the love of You as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I've never fully said, will You come into my life? But I want to say that today. Jesus, will You come into my life and set up home within me? So I experience the transformational love that You have for me. Forgive me for the times when I've sinned. For the times when I've walked away from You. For the times when I've ignored You. today I want to be a new day. Fill my life anew and afresh. Or maybe it's, Heavenly Father, I've known you for a long time. More years than I care to remember. But if I'm honest, I've settled. And I want to have that spark reignited within me. So by your Holy Spirit, right here, right now, would you refill me anew and afresh with your amazing agape love. And may I let myself go and just be yours more fully today than I was yesterday. And may that not end when this service ends. But when I wake up tomorrow, may I ask you for more of your love than I had today. And may that keep going so my roots grow deeper and deeper and deeper. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I just want to say, if any of you have said any of those prayers or words like it, please come and chat to us after so we can be encouraged. We can encourage you and we can pray some more with you. This is not a Sunday morning. This isn't entertainment. We gather so that our lives are changed and that Jesus is glorified forever and ever. Amen.